for today. We're kind of reviewing some things that we've done in the last quarter of last year and looking forward to this year together. So it'll be a little different than what we usually do, but we trust that God will work through his word by his spirit. So if you have your Bibles and you are there in 2 Thessalonians, that's where the reading will be from, and the scripture will be read today by Walt Grumpt.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we ask this morning that you would help us to live for your glory, that you would answer this prayer from your word, from Paul for the church in Thessalonica, but also for us, that by your Spirit, you would empower us. You would give us desires to do good and to see your name known. And would you give us works of faith to do? Would you help us now? Would you work in us by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to love what you love and to live like we love what you love? We ask for your help now, in Jesus' name, amen. So last Sunday, on New Year's Day, I couldn't resist talking about New Year's resolutions. It's just like, it's on everyone's minds. You have great material, like Steve having a resolution this year to eat more Cheese Whiz. It's like, he's a model for us all. I'm actually with him on that, so I'm not giving him a hard time about that. I enjoy that too. But we preached actually from this same text that Walt read a moment ago. And the big idea of that message is we thought about resolutions. Maybe, you know, resolutions, I'm too old for that. I'm too tired for that. I never keep them anyway. What's the point? The big idea was this, that according to God's grace, let's resolve to live for God's glory by God's power. So it's not really so important whether you make New Year's resolutions, whether at the end of the year you go, okay, what did I do last year? What am I going to do this year? How am I going to, you know, look better and feel better and be better and all those sorts of things? But it is important that we resolve to live for God's glory day by day. And we used a quote that I'll read here again, just because it's that good. D.A. Carson, a theologian, tells us why it's important for us to be resolving day by day to live for God's glory. He says this, "People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves that we have been liberated." So last week, from 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12, we asked questions like these. What good resolutions will you make this year? Not necessarily of the, I'm going to eat better and I'm going to go to the gym. If you do sign up for a membership, you may as well go. They're taking your money for like a year, right? Is that how that works? But sure, if you want to do those, that's fine. But day by day, What resolutions will you make to live for God's glory? What good do you long to see accomplished in the world? What change do you long to see for God's glory? Do you pray for that? Have you considered whether God would have you be part of the answer to that prayer? And so we were considering those questions as individuals. How should I grow? How should I follow the Lord in faith this year? What is God leading me to do for his glory? Not so that he will finally be pleased with me, because he is pleased with us through the work of his Son. You could never do enough for God to be pleased with your efforts. One sin against him is enough to condemn us to hell forever. But the work of his one and only Son is enough to save us forever. And so for everyone who trusts in Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection, everyone who hopes in him will have life with him forever. And part of that life working itself out in us is that we would love what he loves. And we would long to see his name known, as we've sung and said already this morning, throughout the earth. That we're changed to be like him. That we want to be changed to be like him. So we considered that as individuals last week. And we want to consider this week ways for us to grow as a church. And you've heard it's Vision Sunday, it's Vision Sunday. What does that mean, right? Well, traditionally, this has been a time in which we talk about the ways that we believe that God is leading us as a church. And this year, we want to talk about ways we believe God is leading us to grow as a church in how we fulfill our mission. See, our mission doesn't change. We don't need a Mission Sunday every year to find out what Jesus wants us to do. We maybe need a Mission Sunday every year to be reminded of what our mission is. In a way, every Sunday is a Mission Sunday. We're reminded of his mission to save us and then sent out with his grace into our homes and into our neighborhoods and into our places of work. So every Sunday, in a sense, is a Mission Sunday. Our mission doesn't change. We don't get to make it up. We don't get to be clever and like, what's our mission going to be here at our church? Our mission should be the same as every church of Jesus Christ. It's been given to us by our Master, Jesus. And we talked about this at length in two sermons in our foundation series last month. And so if you weren't able to be with us for those, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can get those on our website or on our podcast. And in that, we use this sentence to kind of summarize our mission. Jesus has sent the whole church to do the whole mission of making disciples to the end of the earth until the end of the age. Jesus has sent the whole church, all of us, every one of us, to do the whole mission of making disciples, seeing new disciples made through the proclamation of the gospel and them hearing and believing and becoming God's children, being made into new disciples, but then also seeing disciples matured. The whole mission of making disciples, but not just for here, to the end of the earth, and not just for now, until the end of the age, however long that comes. You can say, well, how long is an age? How long is this age? Well, it's until Jesus comes back. Until he comes back to right every wrong, he has given us this mission. And as I said, we don't get to make it up. We didn't make that up either. It comes out of Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where after Jesus' resurrection, he comes to his disciples and says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So what's our vision for 2017? Where do we want to grow this year in fulfilling this mission? Our vision is to grow in three particular areas, and to grow in these areas through teams of people working together. That's what we want to do. Now, with what I'm introducing here, this doesn't minimize anything else that we're doing. Sanctity of Life Sunday was mentioned a few minutes ago, and we're going to be observing that next week. And it's not just about a Sunday. It's about things every week. It's about monthly things. It's about quarterly things. There's a group of people who puts a lot of time and a lot of energy into that cause for God's glory. That's not part of what we're talking about this week, but it remains part of what we're doing here in the church. Say, well, you know, what is mission? Well, we want everything we do as a church to be related to mission. The people who are teaching your children downstairs right now, they're doing mission. They're making new disciples, and they're teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded. So those who are serving in children's ministry, those who serve with Grace for Life, those who serve in so many ways are connected to our mission of making disciples for God's glory, making much of Jesus together to the end of the earth and to the end of the age. But there are a few areas we want to focus on this morning where we want to grow as a church. And if you were with us through the Foundation Series, you probably heard some of those things in the mission messages. And it's like, well, what are we doing? Where are we going? So, first, and this one's going to sound a little funny. First one is maintenance. You're like, man, this must be your first Vision Sunday. So it is. But hear me out. And we actually did talk about this in one of the messages on mission back in December. There are people who clean this building every week, and they're you. They're the members of our church. As your small groups, as discipleship communities, each week there's a new group that's here cleaning the church. And that doesn't, it doesn't feel like mission, right? I mean, there's just nothing exciting about cleaning a toilet. There just isn't. Maybe, I don't know. If you're excited about that and you'd like to do it more than when your group does, let me know, all right? We can get you hooked up with each group. Actually, let Melissa Chipman know. She's the one who coordinates that for us, and she can get you connected, and you can come every week if you'd like to and help with that. I'm sure we would take volunteers. But the point that we made then was that, yes, no new disciples are being made exactly when you're scrubbing toilets or vacuuming floors. And yet, we were all able to walk in this morning to a building that didn't have last week's bulletins in the back of the seat or all over the floor, that didn't have the crackers that someone was using to help corral their children during the music time, that then the crackers became the thing that wasn't corralled, and they're all over the floor, and they're just there. They're not there this week, and it's because people came to serve. It's not flashy. It's not fancy. You don't get your name up on the screen. Maybe we should do that. We'd get more volunteers. Like, here's the people who cleaned last week. But then there'd be pressure about doing a really good job, right? We're like, your group, did you see what? So we don't want to do that. But the way was being cleared for us to come in this morning and not be distracted by other things. Because we don't come here to be distracted by stuff. We come to have Jesus be our vision, like we sang. To see him as the great Savior and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And to be built up and receive grace so that we can go out and show that grace to our neighbors for God's glory. It's also an opportunity for our members who come to die to themselves a little bit. Because again, it's not flashy, it's not fancy. You know, when you say like, how do you serve the church? It's like, well, you know, every few weeks I go and clean things. It's like, all right, good job. I'm so glad you do that, right? But it's important. So it's an opportunity for each one of us as we take our turn to die to ourselves a little bit. There are probably things we would rather do than be here cleaning a building. But it's an opportunity to die to ourselves, to work hard on work that's worth doing, and to remember that Jesus said if we want to be great, serve. Right? The disciples are arguing lots of times. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And Jesus says, look, I'll tell you, if you want to be great, be the servant of all. So that kind of stuff, that's discipleship. That's disciples being matured, using their gifts to serve the church. And discipleship, making new disciples and maturing existing disciples, that's our mission. So even when you, whoever came this week, thank you, when you came this week to clean, you were doing discipleship. You were doing mission. And we actually want it to be about more than just having a clean building on Sundays or having a building where we can do the Bible studies that we do or have the meetings that we have. We would love to see this building used to serve our community. That's one of the ways that we want to grow. Stephen Bown, since I made fun of you a minute ago with the cheese whiz thing, this is a positive thing. Even though you view the other thing as positive too, right? So, he likes to say that we want to be a church that is in, with, and for the neighborhood. In, with, and for the neighborhood. That it's not just about, here's what we're going to do for you, but that we're joining in what is already happening in the neighborhood and bringing the light of Christ to what's happening there. And so one of the ways we can do that is to have our building be available. And there are things like that. We do that around Thanksgiving time. Every year with the turkey bagging, that's not just us. There are two or three other groups that are part of that, and that's hosted here. There's an NA group that meets here every Tuesday night, and they're able to use the building. But we want to see that continue to grow. Last year, we couldn't host a blood drive here because we're not handicap accessible. Now, we don't have to be handicap accessible to continue to function, and that would be a huge project. And just to make sure it's very clear, I'm not announcing that we are doing that project right now. Everyone hear that? I'm not announcing that we are doing that project. And my point today isn't to get into the particular projects. We'll save some of those for the family meeting that was announced today that's at the end of this month on the 29th. The point is this. We do have some bigger long-term projects like that. That would be huge. Like, there's a lot to do with that. But I think it's something we need to be thinking about and perhaps moving toward. And it might take us years to do it. You say, that was Vision 2017, and it's 2025. And it's like, okay, is it done? Are we available to serve? We want to be moving in that direction, even if it takes us a while to get there. So we have some big long-term projects like that. We also have some smaller short-term projects where parts of our building haven't been updated in a while. We're in a little bit older building here. A lot of things were done in 2005, and there have been some things done along the way. From then to now, but there are things that need to be done. And you don't want me to do it. It's not because I'm not willing. There are lots of reasons you don't want me to do it. And there are lots of reasons, biblically speaking, you don't want the pastors to do it. We actually have some guys who are pretty handy on the pastoral team, and so maybe they can be part of some projects. But in Acts 6, when there was work that needed to be done, the apostles at that point said, hey, who can help with this? And raise up people from among the congregation to serve and to lead in significant ways in helping to meet material needs so that the pastors can devote themselves to the word, the ministry of the word, and to prayer. So we need you. We need some people who have some know-how who can help us actually prioritize these projects and say, this is something that looks like it actually could maybe be done, and this is something that should be done, and this is what should be done next, and this is the order that we want to do those things, and here's what it's going to cost, and here's how we can do that. We need some people who have know-how in that area. And I know that we have people with that sort of know-how that are here. And maybe you're thinking, well, you know, they seem to have everything under control there at that church. We need you. And we'll be a better church because of you. Not just because the building will be nicer. It's not about, oh, I have this super comfortable place to come on Sunday so that we can be better at being on mission, being in, with, and for our community and communicate something of the beauty and glory of God. So we want to have a team that will help get that done. So you say, you know, is that for me? Well, this is an opportunity for people who are passionate about serving our community with our facilities. It's an opportunity for some people who have some building and maintenance skills, whether with floors or walls, electrical, plumbing, and you're willing to be available. So there's kind of a couple different things going on here. A team to help prioritize and manage and organize, but then there's also like, hey, I'm a skilled laborer. I'm not quoting myself there. That has to be someone else. Say, like, I'm a skilled laborer, and I would love to use a Saturday here and there to serve the church. What needs to be done? If you're in that category, we would love to have you be part of a team that's on a list. It's like, hey, we have work like this. Are you available to help with that? Right now, we don't have anything like that. And so we need some people who have some skills, whether you can paint a room or paint a mural. Like, there's sometimes we think, oh, this is just construction, right? Okay, we're not just talking about construction. We want our facilities to say something about the beauty and the glory of God. So if you can do those things, and if you're somebody who can work with others to prioritize projects according to a budget, you have those sorts of skills, or if you're someone who can work with contractors and the city where it's necessary to make sure that things are being done properly, because some of these bigger projects are going to take that. That, again, is expertise that's well beyond me and beyond some of the others of us here as well, but there's probably people out there who have it. And so we would love to see you help us that way. So the first thing, again, it sounds funny, it's about maintenance, about using what we have for God's glory in our neighborhood. So that's first area of three that we want to grow. The second one is the area of mercy. And this is actually particularly what's in view in Acts 6. What was happening is there was a complaint. There was some division in the church. You're not taking care of our people right, as they were taking care of widows, saying, hey, ours are being neglected in the daily distribution. And so the disciples summoned the full number of disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So pick out people who are going to do this, who are going to take care of it, who are going to make sure we have what we need to give, and who are going to make sure it gets to the right people at the right time, in the right place. And so, like in Acts 6, we would love to have a team of people serve in the area of mercy and benevolence. We'd love to have a team of people who serve in the area of mercy and benevolence. Our benevolent ministry to date has largely been reactive. By that I mean we get a request from someone, and then we seek to do what we can to help with that need. So, and we take, it's fitting that it was today, the benevolent offering, right? We take that offering once a month, and you give to it. Each one of you, by your gifts to that offering, participates in our benevolent ministry. But largely the way it has run in the past is that it functions through one person who's very busy, Bill Rodebaugh, who went down to University City, West Philly this summer, this fall. And he did a great job with what he was doing with that. And he was at his capacity because he's a very busy person with lots of other things going on. But we would love to see that, not just to see, okay, we need a new person to be the new Bill. That would probably be a lot of pressure for whoever that person is because he was really good. We would love to see a team of people rise up to do that. And as that happens, we believe that we can not merely be reactive, say, okay, what do we do with that request? Okay, we have this much, we can do this much right now. But that we become more proactive as a church. Whenever we announce it, we talk about meeting the needs in our church and in our community. And there are some people from the community who come. We have one regular customer, actually, who comes to the door every... Richie, where are you? Are you in here right now? No. Yeah. I should have noticed the Cubs logo. How often does... every 8 weeks, and it's like, and we don't know exactly her story, right? Is she just going around to all the churches and getting a gift card here and there for groceries? Maybe. But we have an opportunity with her. And that's not exactly what we want to see our mercy ministry be. And so we want some people who have a passion for that to get together and to think about it. And to say, what can we do to let our neighbors know, not just that we have a bank that they can come and get money from, but that we have a heart to see people helped? Wouldn't it be great if somebody not far from here said, I'm in trouble, and somebody who's not associated with our church says, oh, I know where there's people who will love you. I don't know that that would be our story right now. I would love for that to be our story. And not just right around this building, because the church isn't the building. This is where we meet. You meet all across the Northeast in discipleship communities. Wouldn't it be great if on your block, wherever you live, when someone else says, oh, I'm having a hard time, they say, talk to them and talk to their friends. Because, boy, they will love you. They will be there with you. They will help you. Which gets to, we don't just want our mercy ministry to be about, here's a handout. And it hasn't been that over the years. So this isn't we were doing it so badly before. Bill was very good about meeting with people. Many of you know this because you've experienced his care. But we'd love to see a team of people who are available and equipped to do some of the things he was doing and then to do even more. We'd love to see our mercy ministry be more proactive, and we'd love to see it seek to serve the whole person. So this is an opportunity for some of you who maybe you've been thinking, like, how do I get involved? I mean, I come on Sundays and I'm part of my small group. Where do I serve? What do I do? This is an opportunity for people who are passionate about ministering to the whole person with the gospel. This is an opportunity for some people who maybe have some budgeting skills. That certainly comes in handy. Some people who have some listening skills. You'll hear hard stories, and you'll need not just to be ready to tell your story back to them. You need to listen and be able to understand and be able to help. For certain aspects of this team, for people who are in that role, you'll also need to have some discretion. Because you don't just go to everyone else and say, hey, I was meeting with this person last night, and they needed that, and boy, they're in bad shape. Let's pray. We don't want to do that. Often we're dealing with very sensitive issues here. And so there will be some on this team who are doing some of those things that Bill used to do, who will need budgeting skills, need listening skills, need discretion. But as we're looking to expand what our mercy ministry is, we don't need everyone to have all those skills. And you say, well, I really want to see the gospel ministered to the whole person, but I don't know if I have any of the things on your list. Well, we also want to provide some training in this area. So if you're sitting out there thinking this sounds like an area you'd want to serve, but you're not sure what you would do, that's okay. As the sign-up sheets come out and as we get something on our website about this over the next few weeks, we'd love to have you sign up if you're interested at all. And then we'll see. That's not a lifetime commitment to being part of the Mercy and Benevolent Ministry team. But it's seeing, is there a fit here? I'd love to see that happen. How can I be a part? And I don't know where all that's gonna lead. We want that to rise up from you. All the good ideas don't live here. They're in you. And so we want to learn together, and we want to reach out to our neighbors together in mercy and in benevolence. And it's going to take a team of people, a team of our members who are willing to serve this way. So maintenance in our building, mercy and benevolence, and then the last area that we want to talk about today where we really would love to see us grow as a church this year is in missions, in global missions. And if you were with us for the two messages on mission in December, this part probably isn't much of a surprise to you. In that in the second message in that, we talked about being connected for mission. We said that supporting those who have gone out for the sake of Jesus' name is a mark of a healthy Christian, and by extension, of a healthy church. So we could say that a healthy church supports those who have gone out for the sake of Jesus' name. So we talked about wanting to grow in our international connections. We watched a video a couple months ago from Will Broad over in Africa, and maybe he would be one that we partner with their church, with the orphanage, with the school, with their pastor's college. There's so many opportunities right there. But there are lots of other ones too. And so in that message, we talked about wanting to know these churches. And we've done things already to take some steps, right? We pray for a different international church every Sunday. But as we said then, we don't want it just to be, you know, words. We want to have pictures that come to mind. We want to have people that come to mind. We want to have needs that come to mind. We want to know. And yes, we can pray generally. We can long for people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to know that Jesus is the great Savior. But I think one of the ways that we can grow is to know some of those people who are serving in those tribes, tongues, and nations for God's glory, and to be intimately connected to them and be helping, be praying for them more knowledgeably, be sending people to help when there are needs. I would love to see our whole church carry a few of these international partners on our hearts. Because really, like week to week, it's like, who do we even pray for today, right? And maybe if you're pretty sharp, you remember. But by next Sunday, you probably won't. But we don't want it to just be empty. And so in that message, I challenge us to be praying as individuals and as a church for which works abroad the Spirit may be leading us to partner with more closely. We've said it's going to take intentionality, and it's going to take sacrifice. So part of that intentionality is that this year we want to form a team of people to facilitate our global missions efforts, our connection to what God is doing all over the world. Say, well, what is this group going to do? I mean, we already pray for the churches, and what are we going to do? Well, we would love to see this group help to raise awareness, first, of global missions efforts that are already being carried out by our own members. There are things that are happening in our church now that people are doing to help get the gospel to the nations. And most of the time, we don't hear about it. We don't know. And we think that if you did, you might say, I want to help with that. So one particular example, and I don't want to jump too far ahead here, but one particular example is that we have several people in our church who participate in an English as a second language teaching ministry. Right? And it's not far from here, and there's even opportunity to grow that. And maybe you knew that already, but I know there's some of you who don't. Because I was talking with someone about this a few weeks ago, and I said, hey, do you know that we have a bunch of people who spend a night a week, sometimes more, helping to meet new people who've come over here and don't speak English yet, and you're teaching English, and they're having opportunity to talk with them and get to know them and tell them about Jesus. And this person said, what? There's something like that around here? I would love to do something like that. Like, wow, I wonder how many more people feel the same way. I would love to see more and more of us be part of that. Because when we're talking about reaching the nations, there's things where, yeah, we can go there, and there's ways that they're coming right here. And they're our neighbors. And we want to reach them. We want to love them. So we want to raise awareness of global missions efforts, not just those, not just for around here, but even around the world. Like Mary Blizz, we had her come up and prayed over her, and she's traveling the world on a mission trip right now. But there are others who've done similar things, and we want you to know. We want our whole church to know so that we can join in partnership with you as you go and do these things for God's glory. So we want to raise awareness of global missions efforts already being carried out by our own members, whether they're here at home or whether they are traveling and going to other nations. Secondly, we want to increase awareness of global missions efforts by others. And so we did that a little bit last month by letting you know about the group that's going to Thailand. One of the couples is actually there already. There's another one that's getting ready to go there soon. And we want you to know about people who are going out for the sake of Jesus' name so that you can get behind that, so that you can give when we take an offering like we did last month after we had presented that work. Say, hey, who's feeling God working in their heart? You can't go to Thailand, but you can give so that they can go to Thailand. And you can pray that God will sustain them as they're there. I believe that we'll pray better for these efforts if we have a better sense of what is actually happening. If we feel like, I know them. I know what they're going to do. I know some of the struggles they're facing. So we want that team to help us do that, to help increase awareness of global missions efforts by others. And then we want that team to help us choose to strategically partner with one or two international churches. I'd love to see it grow to be a whole bunch. I think probably at the beginning, one or two is a good idea. Rather than having kind of a shallow connection with 50 churches, I'd rather have two that know that we're there for them and that we're with them. And hey, maybe the team comes back with like, we've got 20 and here's how we're going to do it. It's like, fantastic. That is wonderful. Do it. But we want this team to help strategically partner with one or two international churches where you're in regular communication, that the team members are in regular communication with representatives from those churches. Some of these churches, they speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, at least not well. It's not even good enough to say it's not well. But we have people who do, right? And people who can help, you know, you say, okay, well, we're praying for one of those churches in Mexico, and their English isn't great, and it's like, hey, you can talk to them in their language. How cool would that be? Right? That here's a church in the States who cares about you and is willing to talk to you where you are and then come back and report to the church on what's going on. So we want to be in regular communication with them. We want to coordinate this team to coordinate short-term mission trips to go and be there and do what we can. Ways that will really help them, talk with them beforehand, not just call up a church and say, hey, you know, we really have a burden to do a mission trip. Will you let us come? But to have somebody who like, hey, there's a need. Let's go and meet it. We're not just looking for an experience. We're looking to serve. And then along the way, you will have that great experience as well. We'd love to see some people from the nations, when they're in the States on various trips, come and speak here and be here and tell us about what God is doing. And this team will help coordinate all those things. We would love to begin to pray for the persecuted church around the world and for those who are doing pioneer mission work, who maybe aren't connected to us in any other way, but we know they're going into the deepest, darkest places of the world for God's glory. And then we want this group to help to lead us to pray, in themselves praying as they gather, but then in helping us to pray better, that God would raise up short and long-term missionaries to take the gospel to the nations at home and abroad, and to create a culture that fosters and facilitates the desire to participate in God's mission to the nations. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we'd also like this team to help connect us to local opportunities to serve those from the nations. Whether it's things we already are aware of in our church, or whether it's things we don't know about yet that are opportunities. The refugee crisis is not getting smaller. It's growing. And there are people who are coming here. And there are ways that we can help. I don't know what all those ways are. I'm probably not even the best person to figure out what all those ways are, but I think there are some of you who would do a great job at it. And so this is an opportunity for people who are passionate about seeing the gospel go to the nations. Now, there's a level in which we all should be, right? But we can't all do everything. So there are some who are going to be especially passionate for this. This is for you. And we would love for people to be part of this team who have some organizational skills, who have some communication skills. Especially if you can speak other languages, that would be fantastic to have you be part of this team. We want to grow in our love for what God's doing all over the world. And we want to grow in living that out right here. And it's not going to happen by me preaching on it more, though we want to preach on it. But it's not going to happen only through that. It's not going to happen through singing "Let Your Kingdom Come" and "High Above All Things" every week, as fun as that would be. It's not going to happen there. It's going to happen through our whole church taking ownership of this. Opportunities being put in front of us week after week, month after month. That not everyone has to be on the team, but everyone wants to feel that vision, to feel that passion for the mission that God has given us. Our mission is that Jesus has sent the whole church, every one of us, to do the whole mission of making disciples, making new disciples, and seeing disciples matured to the end of the earth until the end of the age. This is our mission. And so in closing, I want to ask, is God calling you to serve in one of these areas? Will you pray over these next few weeks before our family meeting at the end of the month? Will you pray? Will you seek God's face? God, will you have me be part of this? Is this a place for me to serve? There's different kinds of opportunities here. It's not just, well, the one type of person we need. We need all sorts of people. Because the church is a body, right? Made up of many different parts that make a beautiful whole. So we're not all the same, and we're not all supposed to be. Now, there are some of you that you're already leading a small group, teaching in a children's class, serving on the music team, and going to Planned Parenthood every Saturday. So probably you don't want to be on one of these teams without dropping something else. And that's okay too. We want to serve where God has us serving. So I don't want anyone to hear this and go, I'm already doing so much to serve the church. You're just trying to wear me out. And why do we have all these things? I can't. What do we do? So if you're feeling that, be relieved. This is not about adding one more thing for you. These are ways that to be a healthy church, I think we need to grow. And so as we seek to grow in those ways, it's going to take people. And so maybe you're already like completely maxed out in your serving, and that's great. Thank you so much for serving us in all those ways and serving your neighbors and serving our church. We love it, and we're glad that you do that. But I think there are many who maybe do have the margin or can create the margin to serve in these ways. This isn't going to mean you need to spend 2 hours every day. There's even within the teams, there's going to be different responsibilities, different roles, different things that we're doing. So this call is mainly aimed at those who either aren't serving yet or who have or could create, even by changing some of the ways you're serving, could create margin in your lives for things that God has put a deep passion in you for. Whether it's helping this building display God's glory, whether it's through benevolence and mercy, showing God's mercy to our neighbors, or whether it's through helping all of us grow in our passion to see the gospel of Jesus Christ taken to all nations so that one day soon we have one of us standing up and being prayed over who's going and never planning to come back. We want to grow that sort of culture here. And it's going to happen, just like with our resolutions from last week, it's going to happen by God's power. We can't do this. We could lay out a great plan, have teams, and they strategize and do all that. Without God's power, we are nothing. But with God's power, we can do what he's called us to do. We really can. Because we have the Holy Spirit The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in us to desire and to do God's will. We do it by God's power, and we do it according to his grace. As I said near the outset today, joining one of these teams, serving the church, is not what's going to make God finally be happy with you. It's not going to get you on God's good side. By God's grace, you are on his good side because of the work of his Son. We could never do enough, but he has done more than enough to bring us to him. So my prayer for us as a church is that our resolutions individually will align with ways we can serve our neighbors corporately so that they can come to know our great Savior. So according to God's grace, both individually and as a church, let's resolve to live for God's glory by God's power. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that when you call us to mission, you call us as one, Father, who sent your one and only Son on mission for us, and his mission is accomplished. He, by his life, death, and resurrection, purchased a people forever, and you have made us part of that people. Thank you, God. Thank you that that good news has come all the way to us, and we ask that you would make us part of that good news going to the ends of the earth while we wait for the end of the age. We ask these things according to your grace and seeking your power. In Jesus' name, amen.